Okay, so I picked, so I picked a short little topic that I found interesting because, I knew we had like an hour this week after you got back from trips and whatever, and then Rosh Hashanah is already tomorrow night. I'm going to preface this by saying that I'm not 100% sure that I agree with the Rav, which is part of why I want to bring it up with you, because I think his thesis is fascinating, but I could not find anybody who even weighed in on the question. But I really think it's a fascinating, fascinating question. And that's the issue of how much of a tzaddik does the chazan on Yamim Noraim need to be? I think it cuts to the question of what exactly we think about the nature of Schar V'Onesh and whatever, and Tshuva. I think it's a fundamental question. If the Rav is right, it's a really fascinating question. So I want him to be right. I have no way of knowing, of weighing in on this. But it starts with this minhag. Right, so the actual who has to be a chazan on Yom Noraim is actually based on minhag, but it's based on a halacha which we're modeling it on, where it is formalized into law, and that's as you see here in Tavkuf Pei Aleph, right? So it's in the context of slichot. We'll get to the key line, and then I'll give you the key line for it, but I'll read until we get there, right? So we know that Noagim Lakum Bashmoret. You have this screen up, right? The sources. I got the right screen up here. Yeah. So Noagim Lakum Bashmoret Lomar Slichot V'Tachanunim Rosh Chodesh Elol Ve'Elach Ad Yom HaKippurim. And the minhag is to say Slichot. So for the Shulchan Aruch minhag Sfarad is to say it starting at Rosh Chodesh. Rama says Minhag Bnei Ashkenaz Eino Ken Elam Rosh Chodesh Ve'Elach Matchil Litkoa Archat Tfila Shacharit. The Rama says no. The only thing that we do for the entire month of Elul is blow the shofar, which I have heard all of once in shul in this entire month. Going to shul has not been the safest thing. The one time I went to Vasikin in the hospital on Monday morning after Ura gave birth, because I was awake and it's outside on the porch. But I did hold back from taking an aliyah in the hospital. I felt like as much of a risk I was at getting coronavirus in the hospital, getting an aliyah with other people breathing in my face was the worst idea possible. The shofar I've heard from shul from my house because it's loud enough every so often.
In the first 2 weeks of Elul were tough when we were in Bidud.
Yeah.
Because at some point I had a shofar because I've been learning to blow, but I didn't want to be blowing at Hanitz in apartment.
Yeah, that does make sense. Yes.
But since we were out of Bidud, now that I'm dopping in the base, then I don't feel bad about doing it anymore.
So. That makes sense. Yeah, so we're lucky for Rosh Hashanah. You've both been to my house at some point, right? Have you been to my house?
I don't think I have.
You haven't? Really? Okay, we'll have to. Assuming we can change that, we'll have to change it this year. But anyways, like the parking lot in my, for which is like next to my house, like for the building, so I can from my front yard, I can like see right into it, and they just covered it with a shade thing, and that's where they're doing the minions. Like I'm gonna stay daven from my front yard so that I'm safe, the kids can play, whatever. Okay. So anyways, the Rama says, Reb Omdim Bashmaret, Lomar Slichot Biyom Echad Shlovin Rosh Hashanah, Chal Rosh Hashanah, you know this whole minhag, right? 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, if Mosei Shabbos is less than 4 days from Rosh Hashanah, then the week before Rosh Hashanah, etc. Fine. And then the Rama says, halfway through, take it from Viaductico.
Viaductico Lachazor Achar Shlech Tzibor. And so they would choose a shliach tzibur that was respected and was a gadol b'Torah and had Shay Pella Slifa Dami Nura M Shay Haven Shoshin Shana Gam Shay Hay Nasoi. Yeah, he would be the one to dab in Slifa and on Yan Nura M that he would be 30 years old and he would be married. Mihu Kol Yisrael Kshirim Rak Shehaya Mirtalika. However, anyone is kosher as long as the kahal chooses him. V'im mitpalal b'chazaka in shonin acharav inonin acharav. So if he is davening with chazaka, he
right, meaning he gets up by force, right? He forces his way up to the to be chazan.
So, and he has to be mostly everyone with his tefila. And so if he has an enemy who's mechaben not to be yotze, then nobody can be yotze.
Right. Okay. So you know, then there's the minhag that the person who davens slicho davens all day. Okay, now the Rama, the Shulchan Aruch, right? The Rama already tells you, so there's a minhag to get a tzaddik, to get a 30 married. Now he doesn't explain everything what he's saying, but the Chayadam spells out and he says, what are we really getting at here? When you put all these added restrictions and say, ideally you should get someone who's married and 30 and has kids and all that. Right, so the Chayadam explains what this minhag really comes from, and that is right. So, what does the Chayadam explain about this minhag?
That it v'yishal hachmir b'yamim norayim al kol panim liken alayhem kol chomer tanya.
Right, he said what the minhag really is that halachically we codify that there is a certain standard that you're supposed to seek for the chazan on the fast days for the right for rain and. Etc. And those standards, presumably because just like for those fast days we need mercy and we're being judged and things like that and we're involved in tshuva and all those things, we model that on the Yamim Noraim. Right? That's the minhag. Again, it's not Maker Adin, but that's what you're supposed to do. Right? It's halachically the better thing to do. You can't do it like this year. Not everyone can be the Gadol HaDor, right? There's every minyan is capped at, you know, 10 or 20 people. So there's like, you know, a lot of minyanim. And a lot, you know, it's, you know, halavai, we had enough tzadikim gemurim to daven every minyan, every tefillah of dividing all of, you know, Israel into groups of 10 and 20. Halavai, we had that many people. But ideally, that's what you should get. One second. Ezra, do you want me to give you water?
No, okay.
Aaron, can you help him? You just give him a little bit of water. Okay, fine. So what I want to do is focus on one of the characteristics. This is the one that the Rav focuses on that I think is the most fascinating. And that is the question of how sinless does the person have to be? Right, I mean, some of the others are about different standards, right? Having children and being 30, right? Those, you need a certain life experience, you need certain, you know, having children, you need to support a family, makes you understand the consequences of you know, of your tefillot more, things like that. But this righteousness requirement is what I want to focus on, okay? So, Yuri, why don't you take the Gemara here in Tanit, where this all is derived from?
I'm doing tefila. We read this name at Teva Zakein Fulu. So right, so they when they would daven, the congregation would appoint an elder. Right, so Tana Rabbanan.
I'm giving share.
I'm doing bat tefila. Af al pi sheyesh sham zaken chacham
imarim
nivnei hateva el adam haragia. So when they would daven, even if there was a zaken or a chacham, they wouldn't appoint him to. They wouldn't appoint him, but rather they would get a regular.
No. So not ragil, not regular. Regular in prayer. Meaning, if you have a choice between someone who's an expert davener, remember they're davening by heart, right? Or someone who's an elderly person or Talmud Chacham, obviously you take the person who knows how to daven. That's number one requirement. Yes, ma'am. I'm getting sure.
Is it? Was my
second. Amazing. Mayor, can you help your brothers get what they need?
Okay,
thank you, Mayor. Ha! Okay, I'm moving to the point I need my 7-year-old to take care of the other kids, you know? Okay.
You're at home with 3 kids?
Yeah. Meaning, until today, there's been school, so I brought them to school, which is not a big deal, then I went to the hospital, but then they canceled school day early. So now they're home, and I'm picking up Aura in the afternoon. So we said, okay, if you have a choice, right? Obviously, first things first, the guy needs to know how to daven. That's number one. That's what the Gemara says. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, good. That's standard one. Then Rabbi Yehuda Omer. No, Mayor, put that back.
He has dependent children, and he doesn't have the means to support them.
Rabbi Yehuda says you want someone who's desperate, right? If you can get someone, you know, obviously we'd wish people weren't poor, but you know, if there's someone who has children and can't support them, he's desperate. He's davening for a good year, right? He's in the mindset to begin with, right? The way everyone's in the mindset for Ifayinu, I hope, these days. Yeah, I'm listening. Here, Mayor, take this. Okay, then Mayor, let me give it. Okay. Yeah, so he says, Metubo v'einlo, v'yeshlo yigia basadeh, right?
V'yeshlo yigia basadeh. Right? So, and he has hardship in the field, his house is empty. His youth was becoming, he had good children, right?
Pirko Na is a good voice, Shafel Berech, he's humble, Marutza La'am, the people like him.
Yeshlo Ima. I thought that was the big voice part. Was Vieshlo Ne'ima Vakulo? What does that mean?
Pirko Nai is also his, you know, he's like good looking, or he's a good beard, or something like that. Meaning, yeah, all over, good, right guy. Then Kolo Nai Arev Ubaki, right, his beautiful voice, and knows how to sing. Baki Likrot B'Torah V'Neim Uktuvim. He knows Torah, he knows how to learn, and to read. Ulushana B'Midrash V'Alachar V'Agada. Right? Alamailos. Ubaki Bachala Brachot, he knows all the Brachot, Kulan. The Yov Ube Rabbanai Naibir Yitzchak Varami. Right? There was one person there they looked at and said, aha, him. Right? So then, if you turn the page in the Gemara, so the Gemara says, right? Ted Zainu Bez, Hainu Mitupal. Yeah.
Hainu Mitupal.
Hainu Mitupal Veinlo. Hainu Beitarekam. Right?
Right.
Having an empty house is the same as having needs and not having money to pay for it.
Right. Amar of Chazah, rather, what it means is his house was empty of sin.
Good. And then Pirko Na'a, which should mean that he looks good, he's youthful. The Gemara says that's not what it means. Amar Abaye.
That's a low Shamra Biel Tuto. Right. So Abai says this one. He never had a bad name, bad reputation during his childhood.
Okay. Good. So I want to start with the second one. If we get to his last point, if we get to more, than great. But this is the one that interests me the most right now. The Gemara says that not only do you have to be a tzaddik, he has to be a tzaddik shelo yotza lo shem rabbi alduto. Even when he was a child, right? He didn't have a bad reputation. Okay. Right. That's how much of a tzaddik he has to be. Now, if you look at the translation here, right, here, Dafka, it's helpful, right, to highlight the issue from the Koran. How do they understand Shlo Yatsa Lo Shem Rabbi Alduto? Or what is it they say?
This is one who did not have a bad reputation at any time during his youth.
Good. Now, where do they get... Now, what words... And it's, right, Dafka here, the translation is very helpful because they add the words that are not explicit in the Gemara that they're making an assumption about. Right? What are the words that they add?
At any time
during his youth. Very good, right? That the what this line means is that he is a tzaddik always, or at least he was never a Rasha. Right? I mean, maybe he made mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. But meaning he wasn't a rebellious youth who now did tshuva. Right? He was always a good guy. Always a good guy. Right? Now, where do they get that interpretation of this line from?
Rashi and Tosfot.
Rashi and Tosfot. Both of them, right? Right? Rashi says, Afilu. Right?
Even when he stood literally on his Bechira.
No, when he was, not Bechira, Bachur, when he was young, when he was a Bachur. Right?
On his, Right.
No, 1 second. I hear a screaming kid. 1 second. Come, you can join us. Right. So Rashi says, right. Afilu, even when he was young, he was. Yeah, he had no better vision. Tosfot says the same thing. Afilu, right? Afilu kshahaya bachur haya bli shemra. Now, and this is accepted by Shulchan Aruch, right? And Shulchan Aruch said this in Siman Nun Gimel, right? Take it away. What does Shulchan Aruch say?
The leader must be one who is fit. Who is fair, one who is free of sin, who has never had a poor reputation even in his youth, who is humble, who is acceptable to the nation, who is skilled at learning, whose voice is pleasant, who is accustomed to reading Tanakh.
Right, exactly. Now, what's the problem with this interpretation?
That not everyone has a good reputation for...
Oh, sure. Practically, not everyone fits this. But fundamentally, wait, what's the problem here? Right? Around Rosh Hashanah, what's the... Everybody's favorite line that they want... That they share, right? Right? B'makom shewat. Say it again?
Yerkonaev.
Well... When they're trying to give you a speech about tshuva and they want to inspire you, what do they say? Nobody's perfect, and b'makom shebalei tshuva omdin ein tzadik gamur yachol lamod, right? That the place where tzadikim, right, perfect people stand, so. A Baal Tshuva is greater than a Tzaddik, which the truth is that it's a, right? The truth is that it is a Machloket, right? It's a Machloket in Chazal, right? There's actually two opinions in Chazal, right? One opinion in Chazal is, right, that Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rav, that all the Nevi'im, when they prophesied about reward, they only prophesied about Balei Tshuva. But pure Tzaddikim, their reward is so much greater that no one ever envisioned it. And Rabbi Avahu says, no, B'makom Shebalei Tshuva Omdin Ein Tzaddik Gamor Yachol La'amod. Right, that I'm sure you've heard this before. Yes?
Yeah.
So with that in the background, you could look at this line and say, well, maybe this is, you know, I'll add it for you right here. I can edit it, so I can add it for you on the sheet. Let's see if I can do this. Ugh, They keep asking me if I want to make my source sheets public. No, I don't usually do that unless, well, ever. Okay. Okay. So here. You can see on the screen how easy it is to do. Right, the whole thing pops up. Then you just got to find the line.
Using if you have an account.
Yeah, so make an account. It's a free account. It's not like a big deal.
Yeah. Sure.
And then I just find the line, and then I just... There you go. See? It's very easy. Okay? It really is. You guys should be tech savvy enough to do what I just did. So, right? So in some versions it's Rav, in this version in Brachot it's Rav Chiya in the name of Yochanan. That kol hanavim kulam lo nabnu el bali tshuva, aval tzadikim gemurim ayin lo rata Elohim zulatecha. Right, so Rabbi Chiya says the name of Rav, another place in Rabbi Yochanan, another place the name of Rav. Tzadikim gemurim, no one can imagine their reward. Bali tshuva are below them. Upliga Rabbi Avahu, and that argues in Rabbi Avahu. Dam Rabbi Avahu, makom shabali tshuva omdin, tzadikim gemurim, ain an omdim. Shneamar shalom shalom l'rachok l'karov l'rachok bereishav adel l'karov. I know that the place the bali tshuva hold is greater even than the place of pure tzaddikim. Okay? So the first possibility is to say that our Gemara, why does it say that you need a pure tzaddik? Where you should look for a tzaddik who is always good. Right? What's the logic there? So one possibility is to say that this position is paskening, so to speak, like Rabbi Chiya in the name of Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Avahu. Right? Meaning if Rabbi Avahu thinks that Balei Tshuva are above Tzadikim, and Rabbi Chiya says that Balei Tshuva, or that Tzadikim, who never sinned, are above Balei Tshuva, and here you have a Gemara that says, according to Rashi, you should prefer someone who didn't sin in the past. So this seems to weigh in the direction of Rabbi Chiya in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Right? That's one way of reading this Gemara. But it's a little bit odd because it's not clear that we paskin like Rabbi Chiya in the name of Rabbi Yochanan and not Rabbi Avo, whatever paskining exactly means in this circumstance. Right, I'm just following up here. So what else? What other possibilities? What else can you right? How else might you understand this Gemara? Why else might it be that you need someone? Meaning, look, if you paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, so it makes sense. We have very high standards for tefillah, and someone who didn't sin in his youth or wasn't sinful in his youth is better than someone who was, even if now he's the biggest tzaddik in the world. And therefore, ideally, you look for the better person and someone who, right, isn't a baal tshuva, but rather was always good is preferred, right? That's an easy way of reading this Gemara. Yeah? I think that's a potential way. Let's say you don't want to read it that way. Let's say you want to paskin like Rabbi Avo and say that Balei Tshuva are better than Tzadikim Gemurim. So now, what do you want? Right now, how do you, now try.
Say that Tzadikim are held to a higher standard. And so then, something that is a small thing that maybe for a lay person would not be such a big deal. For a tzaddik is a bigger deal, and so that's going to reflect on the tefillah.
Good. So right. So I think logical possibility number one is to say that this Gemara errs on the, or rules in the direction that, that the tzaddik who never sinned is actually better than Baal Tshuva, and that's why you want him as your chazan, or something like that. Possibility two is to say, no, this isn't a question of who's better. This might be unique halacha in tefillah. Right? A unique halacha in tefillah. Now, we could go in different ways, right? You could say, like Gavi, that it's, I don't know, that the representative of the community, perception-wise, should be someone who was always good and didn't have a bad reputation. It's not like, whether he does tshuva, and between him and God, it's better to be a... Boys, you have to be quiet or go back to the playroom. Right? Or, right, you could say, look, between the Baal Tshuva himself and God, whatever, maybe the Baal Tshuva is in a better place. But in terms of public perception and creating a representative of the community, so there's a unique status to a tzaddik who always had a good reputation, right? He was known from the littlest, right, from when he was a baby as being, you know, he finished Shas at 3 and, you know, whatever, and... like that's the person people want representing him. It's a din in tefillah. Now, do you wanna support the notion that maybe tefillah has different standards than the rest of halacha for what type of tzaddik we look for? I'll give you a hint. I'm pulling it up from Gemara Yevamot. Oh, very good. What does the Gemara in Yevamot say? So the Gemara says, right? The Gemara asked, "Amar Yitzchak, Yitzchak Avinu Akur Haya, Shneamar Ve'etar Yitzchak Hashem Lenochach Yishto Al Yishto Lan Relochach, Melamed Shneam Akurim." Right? Yitzchak and Rivka were both barren. Okay. So the Gemara then says, "Vayeater Lo." The pasuk says that God listened to him, to Yitzchak. So the Gemara says that implies Vayeter Lahemi Bailei. Shouldn't have said that he listened to Yitzchak and Rivka because they both daven for children. So the Gemara says Lefi She'eno Dome Tfilat Tzadik Ben Tzadik LeTfilat Tzadik Ben Rasha, because the prayer of a second generation tzadik is different and better than the prayer of a first generation tzadik. Okay. Now again, we can have a whole shiur on why that's true, but the Gemara does seem to be claiming that the standards of tzidkut for tefillah are different from the standard of tzidkut everywhere else, because no one's claiming that Yitzchak was better than Rivka because his father was a tzaddik. The Gemara is claiming that his prayer gets answered more. Okay? So, I think that's two plausible possibilities. Right? To say that according to Rashi and Tosfot and the Shulchan Aruch, the reason that for a shleach tzibur you need someone who, even in his youth, had a good reputation, is either this Gemara is ruling, quote-unquote, in line with saying that a perfect tzaddik is better than a Baal Tshuva or something along that trajectory, or, similar to the Gemara in Yevamot, to say that no, this is a din in tefillah. There's, for some reason, public perception, zchut avot, I don't know, right? The metaphysics of tefillah works differently. And when it comes to tefillah, a perfect tzaddik from his youth is better. Okay? This is all nice. But the Rav was convinced that the Rambam didn't believe in anything we just said. And had a radically, radically different interpretation of this Gemara. One that completely preserves the position of Rabbi Avahu, namely that, no, Baalei Tshuva are great, wonderful, tzaddikim, we want them to be, you know, davening, etc., etc. All that is true. And this, halacha has nothing to do with that. And here, I'll show you his diuk, but you tell me whether you're convinced, okay? I want to be convinced, I'm just not sure if I am, okay? I want to be convinced. Yeah, Yeri. Presumably be the same thing. Right? Presumably. So again, I want to be convinced by what I'm about to show you from the Rav. I want to be. Right? I don't know whether I am. Now again, Remember, this is all the chatchila, because as the Gemara says, and Shulchan Aruch says, in the end of the day, the most important thing is that he knows how to daven, and the people want him to daven. Right? But clearly, there is this lechatchila, and we at least have to understand, because it's not like a, there's not some late, 20th century chumrah, right? It's a chumrah brought in the Gemara, right? It's, the Gemara says it's a chumrah, but it's clearly a value. We need to understand the nature of this halacha. So, let's look at the Rambam, and I'll show you the Rav's diuk, and again, I want to be convinced by the Rav. I think it's a beautiful idea. I don't know if I'm convinced. I don't know one way or the other. But it's definitely a beautiful idea. So the Rambam says, okay? Here, take the Rambam. Right? So he quotes everything that we saw, right? Yeah?
And if he was an elder with all of these traits, it's very good, magnificent. But if he's not an elder, he should pray that nevertheless he gets all of these traits.
Right. Okay. So what's the one on this line? V'lo yatza lav shem rabbi al duto. What line does he not? What word does he not say that Rashi and Tosfot assume is true at the Gemara? V'lo yatza alav shem rabbi bial duto. What does he not say?
That he was always
correct. Right. He just quotes the Gemara as is. Now that's. To me, he just quotes the Gemara. So I could just say, look, he quotes the Gemara. What does it mean? I don't know what it means, right? But it's just the Gemara. But the Rav wants to be medayik that he didn't that the Rambam didn't add this word afilu, right? He just quoted the Gemara as is. Lo yatza alav shem rabbi al duto. So the Rav says, well, what else might it mean, right? If it doesn't mean what Rashi says, then what else might it mean? Again, I'm not convinced of this diuk. It definitely not. I don't have a reason to believe this is true in the Rambam per se, but it's definitely a possible read in the Gemara. But it's quite mechudash. Aaron. Shh. So here. So I gave you the whole piece by the Rav. I'll show it to you inside. Okay. And you'll see, we just went through his sources. Okay, first paragraph, he quotes the Rama and the Chayei Adam. The Minag is to have a chazan that fits everything from the Taniyot. Okay? Then he quotes the Rambam, and he quotes Shulchan Aruch. And he says here, V'nir'eh, Dihinei lefi Shulchan Aruch, Ikra kavana hi lakachat shatz, Shlochata me'olam. Right, this is Harei Kedem Simen Gimel. Shulchan Aruch, following Rashi and Tosfot, think that what you need is not just someone who's now a tzaddik, but was always a tzaddik. He says, "Ulefi zeh." The simple implication of Rashi and Tosfot, which we've talked about, is yotzei chidush gadol. Right? This is a huge chiddush. The bal tshuva lo yachol yod lo olam shatz betanit zibur. That at that a Baal Tshuva can be a chazan on a fast day, And the same halacha isn't just of a chazan on a fast day, it's also of a professional cantor. V'shatz kavu v'chol. V'chem Rashan Yom Kippur. And he shouldn't be the chazan Rashan Yom Kippur. V'af demala tshuva gedola himaod. And even though it's great to do tshuva, lihyot shleach tibur lomo ila tshuvato. But for the purpose of being chazan, it doesn't help. Right? That's what emerges from Rashi. Right? That's what emerges from Tosfot Shulchan Aruch. But the Rav doesn't want to accept that. So he notes, Ach meharambam delo nakar afilu bialdu toki Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam never adds the words afilu. So therefore the Rav suggests, no. Nir lefaresh pshat acher b'divrei ha-gamara. Dimayri v'chadza shel yuduto dafka. He said, we're talking about someone who did sin when he was a kid. He's a Baal Tshuva. Umayri shemi shahaya chote kol yimei yalduto. Dizeh kavana sheyotza lav shem ra bialduto. Klomar, shlochav mecheto az bialduto. V'ikarech yisaronu b'masha lo shav al cheto bialduto. So the Rav says, be very medayik. It doesn't say he never sinned in his youth. What does it say? Shalokara alev shem ra, meaning he didn't have
a bad reputation.
The Rav says, you know what someone, I'll say it outside, then we'll look at it inside. He says, you know what the difference is between saying you can't have a chazan with someone who is a Baal Tshuva and saying someone who had a bad reputation? He says, it's very simple.
That reputation typically is not the same kind of Baal Tshuva.
Right. And so you could have gone in many directions with this, but the Rav takes a very particular one, and he says as follows. What it means to have a bad reputation in your youth means that you were bad in your youth from beginning to end. And you did tshuva only later in life. But someone who made mistakes when he was a kid, but he also did tshuva when he was younger, that person had sinned, but he didn't have a bad reputation. And he says, why does that matter? So the Rav says as follows. There's a rule that the Rambam outlines in tshuva, which is, if you want your tshuva to be complete, then when do you need to do tshuva? What?
Immediately.
So you could try immediately, but the Rambam says, by when do you have to do tshuva? So the Rambam says, when doing the sin is equally plausible to you as when you did the sin the first time. Meaning, if someone is, when he's younger, is involved in sexual impropriety, right? And he regrets it when he's 98 years old, so his tshuva is meaningful, but realistically, he's not in the same position anymore where he's challenged by those desires, and therefore his tshuva is lacking. Why is his tshuva lacking?
Because he doesn't have a chance to redeem himself.
Exactly. He never had a chance to redeem himself. But if he does tshuva when he's still in the exact same, we have the same opportunities, and he decides to embrace a new lifestyle, so then the Rambam says his tshuva is complete. So the Rav argues maybe that's what this means. Not that he never made a mistake. What it means is, look, if someone sinned when he was young, but he also did tshuva when he was also young and he had the same opportunities, then he doesn't have a bad reputation because people will look at him and say, look, he redeemed himself when he still had the opportunity to sin. He chose a new path. He'll redeem his reputation because he'll become a better person. But if someone was a terrible kid when he's a teenager, right? He did everything bad, and he only settles down when he's in his 40s, right? People will look at him and say, well, now he's a good person, but, you know, he's a bad person, but he really, right? He turned over a new leaf late in life, right? There's a mar, like, it's marred because his redemption came at a point in his life where his tshuva can't be absolute. So if you look at the Rav, the Rav argues that's what he's saying, and he says, Be'ur HaDvarim is follows. Alpi Madrin Barama Melchatshuva Perik Bet Alachav. The Rambam says, "Ezui Tshuva Gemura." What's real tshuva? Pure tshuva. Zeshebali Yadu Davar Shavar Bo V'Chulei. It's someone who has the opportunity to sin again. And he's just as strong, has the same desires, and he turns away from the sin because he's a Baal Tshuva. Zehu Baal Tshuva Gemura. That's a real Baal Tshuva. But if he only does tshuva when he's older, and he no longer could sin if he wanted to, it's not the perfect tshuva, but moel, it is some sort of tshuva. It helps. And so the Rav argues, that's what the Rambam means. What does it mean you didn't have a bad reputation as a kid? It means someone didn't do tshuva when he was younger. Even though now he's a tzaddik, he did tshuva. If he only does tshuva when he can no longer realistically perform the same sins, so he's not a perfect tzaddik anymore. So even though his tshuva helps, it's not perfect tshuva, so now we can't be a chazan. No. But if he either sinned as a young man and did tshuva as a young man and redeemed himself originally, or he sinned now, but he does tshuva now, so his tshuva is complete. Right? Or if he sinned as a child or as a young man and did tshuva as a young man, Azai bivadai kasher liyochad, that person can be a chazan. So the Rav argues that, not like Rashi, Tosfot, and Shulchan Aruch, it's not a filu, right? This is not us paskening that a perfect tzaddik is better than a baal tshuva. It's not us even saying that for the purposes of tefillah, it's better to have someone who's not a baal tshuva but is a perfect tzaddik, right? The Rav argues that there's a totally different way of reading this, and it's that if you sin as a child and you do tshuva as a child, meaning you do a full tshuva when you had the ability to sin and turned away from sin, and your tshuva is perfect, so then you can be a chazan. All the Gemara is saying is that if someone sinned when he was a young man, but now he's an older man, and now he realistically doesn't have the opportunities to sin in the same way, so his tshuva isn't complete, so then he might be a tzaddik, but his tshuva isn't complete. So in a hanami, he's not a perfect person anymore because his tshuva is tshuva minus. If that's the case, he shouldn't be a shliach tzibur because he's less than perfect. That's the Rav's chiddush. Again, like I like what the Rav's saying theologically, right? Because what he's saying is, yes, a baal tshuva is a tzaddik amur. There is no special standard for tefillah. It's just, the only standard you need is, do tshuva when it is most effective. And the way the Rambam says that is, do tshuva when the reason that you're turning away from sin is because you're turning away from sin, not because you're not capable of sinning anymore. I don't know if I'm convinced in the words. I don't know. I think it's beautiful. I think it's brilliant. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I am ambivalent about whether it's meduyak in the words. I think theologically there's a lot to suggest it, and I think the Rav is right to note that neither the Gemara nor the Rambam adds Rashi and Tosfot's afilu. But more than that, I don't know. So I wanted to share it with you. I think it's a brilliant idea. Again, correct. Meaning the Rav is relying on the fact that he quotes the Gemara without a filu, and that his own theology of tshuva provides a background for such a thought. I think it's plausible, but I don't feel a hechreach. I don't know if it's true or not true. I think it's definitely plausible, and I think it's beautiful. I'll be honest that I don't know whether it's true or not. Okay. The rest of the sources that I put here, which we won't do now, was this question. You know what? Let me. You know, I'll share it with you outside for 5 minutes. Boys. Mayor Aaron Ezra, you need to be quiet for 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes, then we'll have lunch. Okay. is this question of what it means that your house is Rekam in Ha'avira. So the Rambam comes up with this Chiddush, if you noted, when Yuri read the Rambam, Meir and Aaron Ezra, go to the playroom. No, go to the playroom. Go. Because you're too noisy, that's why. Go. I can't concentrate. I need 5 more minutes. Ezra, turn that off. Meir, turn it off for him, and then... Ezra, 5 more minutes. Okay, so the Rambam comes up with this chiddush that your children, your family, have to be righteous as well, right? Now, where does the Rambam get that from? So the Achronim know that plausibly, where does the Rambam get this notion from? From the phrase in the Gemara of Beito Rekam min Avera, that your house is empty of Avera, which you could just take as exaggeration to mean you never sinned, right? But the way the Achronim noticed, the Rambam clearly thought that not only do you need to be a Baal Tshuva, but you need to be from a righteous household. Our Ezra. So if you look at the Gvura Ri, he notes this. He says, if you know, there's really 2 ways of understanding it. Rashi says, Beito Rekam min Avera means that you didn't steal, that you never stole. The problem, obviously, is the guy has to be at tzaddik. Why do you need a special line to say, and he isn't a thief? Right? I mean, what does Rashi want from my life? He's a tzaddik and he doesn't steal. Of course not. So therefore, what the Achronim say is what the Rambam is saying is that your home also doesn't have sinners in it. And the Avnei Nezer argues that the reason that's true is because everyone has responsibility in his own home and to anyone he can influence, to give them tshuva and rebuke and help them be righteous people. And therefore the Avnei Nezer argues that what the Rambam is saying is even if you're a tzaddik, but you don't manage to influence your family, that's also a chisaron in you. And that's why the Rambam demands that the person's family also be righteous. Right? That's the Avnei Nezer's claim here in Or HaChaim Siman Lamed. The Gvura Ri takes a slightly different approach. Right, and he doesn't really understand it, right? And Rav Avadya just notes here. Come here. Right, he actually paskins this way, basically like the Avnei Nezer, and he says the nafkamina to this would be now the Avnei Nezer says that the reason the Rambam wants everyone in his family to be righteous is because otherwise it shows a chisaron, right, a lack in the guy's ability to give tshuva to his family, to give Musar to his family, to influence his family, and that's a spiritual flaw because you're responsible for others, especially your family. Rav Avadya has a different chiddush, and Rav Avadya says no. He thinks that the reason that you want someone whose family follows in his footsteps is because sometimes if someone's a tzaddik, not always, but sometimes if someone is a tzaddik and everyone in his family is not, that shows that the person's commitment to mitzvot is shallow because he doesn't really believe in it. And therefore he keeps it out of rote, but he doesn't attempt to pass it on because it's only skin deep. And therefore, Rav Avadya's suggestion is that the reason the Rambam thinks the person's family has to be righteous is not because is because otherwise it reveals that this person who looks like a tzaddik is not as much of a tzaddik as he looks like. And therefore, he says, "Shetzarach liot yirei shamayim be'emet shemachaneich et banav l'toro liyirat Hashem teora." Because you need the type of person who educates his children. Therefore, he says if someone is himself from, but he sends his kids to, he doesn't send his kids to learn Torah. So then he says, you know, such a person, you know, it just shows that he doesn't really, really believe in it and care about it if he's not passing it on to his children. So that's just a little bit more on why it might be that we demand more expansive things, including not just a righteous person, but a righteous family. Okay, but we'll leave it there. Guys,